You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
New Zealand's public service has tied with Denmark as the least corrupt in the world. Transparency International's 2016 Corruption Perception Index tested the openness and level of corruption in 176 countries' public services. It then gave them a score out of 100. Here's Transparency International New Zealand Chair Suzanne Snively.
New Zealand has scored 90 and now ranks first equal with Denmark in the world as having the least corrupt public sector.
And what were we previously in 2015 at the last report?
We were 88 and we were fourth, and we very seldom have fallen as low as fourth in this index. So that was quite a wake-up call.
How did we get back to where we are now?
The public service has become really focused on what it needs to do to prevent corruption in New Zealand, and that has made a major difference to how the particular sources that measure us, it's made a major difference to their perceptions of New Zealand. So one of the areas where we've scored particularly well, for example, is our Office of Auditor General. They're regarded as setting the standard for supreme audit offices with their independence and objectivity. So that's an area where the world looks to us for an example. There's also the judiciary. We score well in the judiciary in terms of openness and transparency. We also score well on the rule of law.
I see you say we're at 90. What areas do we still need to improve on?
Oh, where do I start? But the two main ones are to do with procurement and with training of our public servants. So starting with training first, we're an increasingly diverse society, and we have a number of new immigrants who come here because of what we have to offer, our reputation and so on, but have come from a different cultural background. And we need to train them about our culture, and we need to train our public servants as to what to say when someone effectively places a bribe in front of them. People don't want to be rude, but you need to be quite direct and say, look, this country doesn't accept bribes. And that takes training to recognize what a bribe looks like, what is corrupt practice, and it takes training to push back on it and to know what to do. And this relates quite closely then to procurement. Over 38% of government expenditure is through contracting. So it's not provided by government per se, it's contracting of private sector or NGO organizations. What we have is a very robust and rigorous upfront process in most cases around the letting of a tender, but we need a lot more understanding and training of what happens once the tender has been let to make sure that the procurement does what it's contracted to do. Particular examples, recent examples, are the replacement of quality copper wiring in electricity with a lower grade, the replacement of the steel that goes into the foundations and structures of roads and houses and so on with a lower grade of that steel. Somebody's making money out of the difference in price. But worst is that the public good effects of it are that you're putting the wider citizenry at risk because somebody's not following up on that tender document properly.
I expect most New Zealanders take for granted the lack of corruption in our public service. How widespread is it internationally?
The corruption in public service is very widespread internationally, and that's one of the things I think New Zealanders also have problems with, is actually picturing just how widespread it is and what a hindrance it can be. For example, just looking at the difference between us and Australia, our score is 90. And Australia's score is 79, 11 points lower than us. In many states in Australia, you still expect to pay police bribes in certain instances. We were recently in Panama, and right in front of our very eyes, the taxi got pulled over and the policeman asked for a bribe, and the taxi driver had to pay it. This is a real hindrance. It's a real nuisance, and of course it adds costs as well. These things we really don't understand here, that we can get up every morning and go off to work, and those sorts of barriers are not there. We can get down to whatever we're doing for the day, taking our kids to school, going off to the office, knowing that nobody's going to ask us for a facilitation payment or a bribe to go about our business.
We don't know how lucky we are.
Exactly. And by the way, there needs to be, and there is, a complaints process, and it needs to be working better than it is. So that's a work in progress that we're certainly pushing for as well. But at the same time, people need to remember what good public service they're getting and remember to thank people when they're getting that service. You know, be proud of the job that's being done there, because it is at a higher standard of integrity than just about any place else in the world.
That was Transparency International New Zealand Chair Suzanne Snively. The results have pleased Aotearoa's business community. Here's Business New Zealand Chief Executive Kirk Hope.
New Zealand is already recognised as a great place to do business. We top the ease of doing business survey. But what it also tells you now for international businesses who want to invest here is that they can do that without any worry about corruption or bribery having an impact on their business down the track.
And what does this mean for those businesses? Why would they find that more attractive than somewhere, say, for example, the United States or Australia or other developed nations?
It comes down to cost and the way that you want to do things, and also probity from an international perspective. I mean, if you're an international business, then the directors of that business are going to really want to know what sort of activities you're undertaking within your international operations. And to know that you're doing business in a low corruption, low bribery country, I think is a really important message for global boards.
What would you like to see going forwards?
Well, I think we obviously have to keep monitoring, supervising and updating the processes that we have so that we can ensure that we stay at the top of that table from a public sector perspective. But the other thing that is recognised by Transparency International is the transference of some of those public sector processes into the private sector, and that's what I was talking about when I was talking about boards being cognizant of what's going on in their own businesses from an international perspective, what processes they might have in place to identify where corruption or bribery might be happening and then to act on that if it is happening.
And I expect it's a good selling point to bring more business to New Zealand as well.
Yeah, I mean, it adds to the package of what we have to offer. You know, as I said, we already top the ease of doing business survey. Our GDP is strong from an international perspective. There are already a whole range of reasons why businesses want to invest in New Zealand. This just adds to that basket of good reasons to invest here.
That was Business New Zealand's Chief Executive Kirk Hope. The Public Service Association says the results are fantastic when taken into consideration with tightening economic constraints. Here's the union's National Secretary, Glenn Barclay.
We take them as an endorsement of the hard work and integrity of public servants in New Zealand. I think that our members have done very well in recent years, given that, you know, we've been under the cosh in terms of financial constraints and heavy workloads. It's a great endorsement of our members' commitment.
When we talk about the public service, what are we talking about exactly? How many people and what jobs in particular are we talking about?
If you just think about the public service itself, which is primarily government departments that report to ministers, there's around 40,000 people employed by those agencies, many of them in frontline jobs like social workers and caseworkers and so on. But there are plenty of other people who are providing support behind the scenes or providing policy advice, financial leadership and so on. So that's the public service. There's the wider state sector, of course, which includes hospital, you know, the health sector, includes Crown Research and so on. So it's a wide-ranging sector. But this is not just about the public service, it's about the public sector workers generally, because it's great to know that we've got a corruption-free public health system, for example, where people generally aren't able to buy access to services.
And why do you think that New Zealand is so high up on the non-corruption index?
That's a long and historical thing. Basically, countries like New Zealand that have long-standing stability in economic, political and social terms tend to do well in these scores. You know, we've got a strong tradition of openness in public affairs. Strong media freedom in New Zealand, as in other countries that are near the top of the scale. So those are important things, but there's also this culture of integrity and positive conduct within the public service, which is both one encouraged by the service itself, but one that I think comes naturally from a lot of people who want to work in the public sector because they're there to make a difference.
And what would you like to see going forwards?
Well, obviously, I'd like to see us maintain our record being top of the list. But Transparency International are clear that this is not saying there's no corruption in New Zealand. It's just that we're the least corrupt. We've got the best record in the world. So that's really, really good. But we need to work hard to stay the same and improve.
That was the Public Service Association's National Secretary, Glenn Barclay. For BFM News, Cordial Michael Swanix, TNA.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.